Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. I started on Sunday evening, beginning to preach out of the book of Isaiah. We're going to go through the book as far as the Lord allows us. As long as God directs me to go that direction, we're going to study the book of Isaiah. And for the sake of those that wasn't here on Sunday night, I'm going to just highlight just a little bit of some of the things that I said concerning the book of Isaiah. Hopefully it'll be a help and a blessing to you this evening. And you pray for me as I try to do that. And it's only 5 minutes after eight, so don't be nervous and don't be upset. We've got all afternoon. Amen. All right. Nothing like good old Bible study. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 1, we'll begin in verse number 1. And we'll just read the entire chapter. Or we'll try to anyway. And we'll just look at some things this afternoon in the book of Isaiah, probably one of the greatest books that's been written. I know the entire Bible is the greatest book that's ever been written. Amen. And it's God's holy word. We understand that. And we understand that God had touched these men and through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and these words was penned down by men. But it is the word of God. And God gave Isaiah a vision. We see in verse number 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, or Ahaz, however you want to pronounce it, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and his the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know my people, my people doth not consider. Verse number 4, the Bible says, all sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Let me say this as far as verse number 4, I mentioned this on a Sunday evening, but there the verse of Scripture says that it calls the God of heaven, the Holy One of Israel. And we discussed that on Sunday evening, that phrase is mentioned 30 times in the Bible, and 27 of those times is in the book of Isaiah. Jeremiah mentions it once, and there's two other times it's mentioned in the book of Psalms. And so we realize tonight that Isaiah knew who the Lord was. Amen. He said he is the Holy One of Israel. No doubt he is holy. Amen. And he is the Holy One, and he is the only God, amen, that we serve. And Isaiah is just saying he's the Holy One of Israel. It says they had forsaken the Lord, they had provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are going away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the soles of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country, Isaiah just lays it out there for them and tells them in verse 7, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Verse number 8, the Bible says, the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and a lodge as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now here in verse number 8, Isaiah is just telling them, listen, that they're down to living in shacks. At one time, this was a great nation, greatly used of God. God had blessed Israel and blessed Jerusalem. And listen, they're down now to where they're nothing more than just a cottage in a vineyard, a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, where the gardener would sit and watch for thieves coming in. I mean, it's just a shack. A besieged city. Hey, listen, things have gotten a lot worse than what they were at one time. And he says in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs, or of he-goats. Let me just stop right there. I think I'm getting too far ahead with what I want to say tonight. I don't want to elaborate on all this again tonight. I want to try to move on to the latter part of the chapter if I can. But as we're looking at this verse, these verses of Scripture, we understand tonight. First, let me give you this, that the book of Isaiah is a very unique book. It is as unique as the testimony of Jehovah God is in the chapters of Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. It's more than any of the other writing prophets. You'll find Jehovah God in there. I mentioned this on Sunday evening, that anytime you see capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, it is talking about the Jehovah God that is the true God. That's who it's talking about. And we find there that Isaiah knows who this Lord is, and he is speaking to God's children, God's people, and they have turned from what they know to be right. They have turned from serving God and to serving sin and wickedness in their day. And God is sending them a messenger and telling them to repent of their sins and turn from their wicked ways. Isaiah is known as the prophet of redemption, or the redemption prophet. He's bringing in, listen, the word of God that God's people need to repent. There's no other place in the Old Testament where the suffering of the Messiah is set forth as clearly as it is in the book of Isaiah. It is the first of the major prophets because of the excellency of the matter that's contained within these pages. No one writes so fully and clearly of the person, of the offices, of the grace, and of the kingdom of Christ, of His virgin birth, and of His sufferings, of His death, and the glory that should follow, as does Isaiah in his writings. I'm telling you, the book of Isaiah is a tremendous, tremendous book to study. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into that again tonight, but I want you to understand it is a great book to study, and we are going to study the book of Isaiah as long as God allows us to. But we're seeing here that God has given him a vision, and he's begun to write some things, and he's telling God's people that they need to repent of their sins. He's telling them, look with me if you would, verse 7, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate. Listen, this was a situation in Israel where they had rebelled against God. They'd sinned against God. And now God has given His prophet the words and sending those words to His people. He's prophesying. It's a prophetic, if you would, telling them of the future events to come. Here the Bible says in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was totally destroyed. God destroyed those two cities. And here the Bible says that had God not left a very small remnant, Israel would have been the very same as Sodom and Gomorrah and wiped off the face of the earth and been destroyed. But thanks for God's grace and God's mercy, amen, God left a remnant of people of His own. And the Bible says, let me say this in verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Now I want you to understand with me tonight. Here we see God's people. I tell you, before I get into that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, you use me, Father, tonight. I pray, God, you illuminate my mind, guard my lips. Lord, help me to say only that, Father, that's pleasing in your sight tonight. I pray, God, you, Lord, just help me. You'd use me, Father. Hold back all the opposing powers, dear Father, tonight. And use me, Lord, to say that needs to be said in this place. I need you, Father. And I pray, God, you touch these lips of clay. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Lord, tonight. May your will be accomplished, and may your will be done. And in Jesus' sweet, loving, precious, and holy name we pray. Amen. And amen. As we're looking at the book of Isaiah and understanding God's people, and God's people had at one time been a great nation. It was a nation that was so blessed of God, and God had greatly blessed them and gave them abundance of things. And listen, they had the wealth of Israel. They had anything they could want or need. Israel was a place that God had so blessed, but it had come a time, listen, when they begin to turn against God, they begin to follow after the groves of the pagan nations. They begin to follow after the evil of other nations around them, the paganism, the false worship, the pagan gods. They begin to follow after that, and they begin to turn against the true God of heaven. You'll find as you study through the Scriptures there that God was the true God, and we know that, and they knew that, and they were still going through the motions. God gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, as you know in the book of Exodus, and the book of Leviticus gives the laws that God had laid down for the tabernacle, that the children of Israel were to follow those laws. Let me say this tonight. God gave the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Amen. God gave the Ten Commandments to be honored and to be obeyed, not the Ten Suggestions that maybe you ought to. God said do it, that meant do it. Amen. When God says in His Word to do it, that means do it. Amen. That's good preaching right there. When God says do it, that means do it. Amen. And all through the Word of God we find that God gave commandment after commandment after commandment to His people. Let not that filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. That's a command of God. Thou shalt not steal. That's still a command of God. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's still a command of God. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. Listen, God said in His Word, these things were His commands, that God's children were to obey these words. And God meant what He said when He wrote it down. Amen. The words come forth from God through Isaiah. Isaiah is the prophet of God. And God had sent His Word to His people. Let me say to you tonight, God's still speaking to His people. Amen. We're not Israel tonight. We're not Jews. We're not in Jerusalem. But thanks be unto God, we've been grafted in and we're still the children of God, and God speaks to us and gives us His Word, and we are to obey His commands just as they were.
Amen.
God, He commanded them to obey the laws that Moses had brought down, and they was to follow those Levitical laws in the tabernacle. Let me say to you, they was serving God. They was going through all those motions. They was going through the ceremony, laws that they were supposed to keep up with. They was doing all those things. And then God says to them, look with me, in verse number 11, God says, hey, listen, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of the fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of rams or of he-goats. Listen, when you come to appear before me, who hath with Christ this at your hand to tread my courts? God said in verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths are the calling of assemblies. I cannot always away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts. My soul hateth. They are trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear them. Listen, verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. God said, you're going through the motions. You're doing as the Levitical laws is laid forth. You're going through the motions. You're bringing the sacrifices. You're shedding the blood of sacrifice. You're going through the burning the incense and doing the things that the Levitical law had laid forth. But you're doing it because you have to. You're not doing it out of a whole heart. You're not doing it because you love me. You're doing it just to keep up with the ceremonial livings. Let me say, God's not interested in sacraments. God's not interested in ceremonial doings. Amen. God's interested in us serving Him with our whole heart.
Amen.
Amen. Put our heart into it and do it with our heart. God says, listen, wash you, make you clean. Put away evil from your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here God says to His people, if ye be willing, in verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. We understand as we study through these verses that Israel had rebelled against God. And there's so many things. I don't want to get into all the things that they did tonight, but I want you to see that they had rebelled against the Lord. They had sinned openly against God. They had been into idolatry with the other nations. They was worshiping the pagan gods and the groves and all the different things. And listen, 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 18 through verse 10 through 18. You'll find there that the king Ahaz, or Ahaz, however you want to pronounce his name, had even set up altars in the temple to worship and to pray at those altars. But listen, it was not to serve God. He did that, listen, out of a wickedness, out of a wicked heart. And the Bible says the nation was still deceitfully continued to go through the motions in worshiping Jehovah God. And God says, it makes me sick the way you serving me. Boy, I'm telling you, I've been chewing on this since Sunday night. I wonder how many times God got sick of Americans, amen, and people around the world going through the motions of church, coming in and sitting down and going through the motions, paying the tithes.
Amen.
Paying the preacher, amen, going through all the motions, supporting missions. Hey, I do this and hey, I do that. But the whole time God's looking down and said, your life as a Christian just simply to God makes me sick because of the way you're doing it.
Amen.
I believe God's interested tonight in our wholeheartedness. Amen.
Amen.
Our wholeheartedness. We serve God because we love Him. We serve Him because He saved us from our sins. Amen. That's why we should serve Him. Says, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. When Judah finally would try to pray to God, God said He would not pay any attention to them. Hey, listen. He would not pay any attention to them. God had had enough. He'd warned them. He would no longer listen to their prayer when they prayed. Boy, what a sad place to be when God no longer listens to our prayers. When God says, your life as a Christian makes me sick. You're going through the motions. You're going through the ceremonial rituals. You're doing the sacraments as some religions do. Amen. And Catholicism, they go through the sacraments and all the ceremonial garments that they do. Amen. And God looks down on that and said, that just makes me sick.
Amen.
Not interested. I wonder how many of us tonight can say that, listen, that we've prayed. You can say this as well as I can. We've prayed and it seems like at times God didn't hear our prayer. And we sat and wondered, said, God, what's wrong? God, why ain't you answering my prayer? God, are you listening? God, why am I going through what I'm going through? We've had times like that. Hey, listen, there's going to be times like that. This three-way God answers prayer. That's yes, no, and wait. Amen. My wife was waiting for a date for her surgery. And probably one of the worst things we could do is the anticipation and the waiting for the date. Not so much the surgery, but just the date. And she says, honey, I prayed. And she said, I just don't understand. I prayed and I said, God's already answered. He said to wait. Amen. The answer came the other day. Hallelujah, we got a date. Listen, I'm not talking about those kinds of prayers. I'm talking about when God just does not listen because of the life we live. Man, there's a lot of people today that's going through the motions. Listen, they say that they're doing great things for God. There's churches all across our land that say they're doing great things for God. They're doing this and they're doing that for God. And God looks at that and says, that makes me sick. I don't care for your actions. I don't care for what you're doing. That's not what I want. God says, I want your whole heart.
Amen.
God says, I want you to give me everything you got. You give me your heart. Verse 16 and 17, God says, wash you, make you clean, put away evil from your doings, put evil away from your doings from before mine eyes and cease to do evil. Stop doing the things you're doing. Stop living like the devil. Stop living a wicked life. Amen. Hey, preacher, I don't live a wicked life. Do you serve God with a whole heart? Do you serve Him with your whole heart? God's not interested in the little sins and big sins. As we look at Israel, we can start naming things that they did. God wasn't interested in the little sins and the big sins. God was interested in their heart condition and their willfulness just to obey His Word.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff right there. If I am doing it.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says God wanted His people to learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. He was pleading with His people to return to righteousness. That included doing good and doing justly, helping those that were in need and watching over those that were in distress. What we learn from this verse of Scripture is what was gone from Israel, what was gone from Judah, what was gone from that nation was the fact that people were doing good. Now they're doing evil. God says, return to what you used to be and what you used to do. Learn to do well. He's pleading with them, get back, return to righteousness. What America needs tonight is revival, amen. America tonight needs some people to just get back to living righteously and serving God with a whole heart. Amen, that's what we need. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Watch this now, real quickly, I'm going to try to hurry. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, hey, God began to lay that thing out there for them. He said, though your sins, the many sins, though they be as scarlet. You want a good Bible study? Look up that word scarlet. That's a good Bible study. But I was looking and reading some things, and that word scarlet, it indicates the depth of their sin. Man, they were sunk in sin. They were so deep. This is God's people now. They were sunk so low in sin. Hey, listen, they done stopped going to worship God for the right reasons. They were just going through the motions. It didn't mean anything to them anymore. Lord, help us tonight if we get to the place where serving God doesn't mean anything to us. They got to the place, they're just going through the motions. God says, those your sins be as scarlet, indicating the depth of those sins. And not only the depth of those sins, but also the willfulness of those sins. Nobody had made them do what they've done. They willfully chose to serve other gods. They willfully had turned their back on God. They willfully had turned to the paganism of that day. And God has said, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be deep, and though they are sins in a willful sense, they're scarlet, they're bright. That word scarlet thing, and the word crimson, it talks about a bright red. Something that's hard to cover. You can't cover bright red. You take a good looking red, what's that you drive, a Chevrolet? You take a good looking red Chevrolet and try to cover that thing up with some paint. Now it's going to take, hey, you can't cover that thing with white unless you work on it. It's going to take a lot to cover that red. You know why? Because it's bright. Anything that's bright red is hard to cover. And Jesus, glory to God, I'm about ready to run a lap. The Lord said that your sins, talking to His people, they're as scarlet and they're as red as crimson, though they be that way, shall be white as snow. Amen. Lord, help us tonight to understand what the Bible is telling us. Those sins, the depth of those sins, you've got so far away from God and you willfully chose that path. God gives every man, boy and girl a choice in this life. Amen. The sins they commit, the things they do, they choose that path. And listen, the Lord said, though your sins be as scarlet, if you'll come and repent, if you'll come to me and confess those things, He says, come now, let's reason together. That word reason together means let's sit down and talk about this thing. Let me share with you my gracious promise. He said, I'll forgive you. I'll wash you and yours. Listen, your sins shall be as white as snow. There's no white more dazzling than fresh fallen snow. It's a white which makes all other whites seem dull and yellow by comparison. God therefore offered that complete cleansing to Judah if they would repent and allow His gracious cleansing. If they would repent, God would wash away their sins and cover them as, listen, their glory to God, it would be as white as snow, fresh, anew. They just repent. 1 John 1:7, listen, that same promise goes to us today. That same promise is still in the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that washes away our sins, that covers them. Hallelujah, I'm glad my sins are under the blood. Amen. I'm glad that my sins are no longer looked upon. When God looks down at me, He doesn't see me, but He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins, hallelujah, have been washed away. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. the Bible said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, hallelujah, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank God I'm washed tonight. I've been cleansed from my sins. Well, if that don't make you shout, want nothing ever, amen.
Amen.
God presented this in a clear condition of the cleansing to Judah and to Israel. If you be willing and obedient, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. The principle was from a willing heart. If you be willing to just repent of your sins, a willing heart, a repentant heart. From a repentant heart flows the obedience to God. My soul, we're living in such a day that nobody wants to obey God anymore. Nobody wants to obey. They don't want to hear from the preacher anymore. And listen, I get so sick sometimes trying to talk to people. I'm not trying to be cruel tonight. Brother Ronnie, you can attest to this. He's pastor and he knows. Hey, listen, you talk to people till you're blue in the face and they just will not hear what God said in His Word. Man, sometimes I wonder if people are ever going to pay attention or not, if they're going to listen to God. God says, just be willing, just be obedient, repent of those sins. Get your heart right with Him. Those sins will be washed away. But we need some people that will just repent. Amen. Get right with God. The greater thought is that Judah was willing to return to God in repentance and become obedient to His Word. He therefore promised that He would again bless their land and He would bless them if they would repent. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, very familiar passage of Scripture. God said, if my people would humble themselves, confess their sin and repent. Amen. Humble themselves. Turn to God with a willing heart. Humble themselves. Turn to God with a willing heart. Turn to God with a repentant heart. If they would humble themselves and pray and seek His face, He would forgive them of their sins.
Amen.
The big word there in that passage of Scripture, verse 19, is if. Great big word there is if. If they would just turn to God. If they'd be willing to return to Him in complete obedience. My friend tonight, every one of us, listen, we're all in the position tonight where we could get away from God. We could be just like Israel. We could be sunk in sin. We could be so far away from God. Hey, but listen, there's a promise in the Word of God that God says if you'll just come back, if you'll just repent of your sin, no matter how deep it is, no matter how willful you was in it, if you'll just come back with a willing heart and a repentant heart, I will forgive you of your sin.
Amen.
You'll just come. You know what America needs tonight? America needs some people that's just willing to come.
Amen.
Just willing to come and reason with Him. God, I've done these things. And God, I know that I'm saved. I'm not lost. I know that I'm saved. But God, I've done things amiss and I've done things wrong and I've sinned against You, Lord. Thus and thus, as the Bible says there in the book of Joshua, that Achan said, thus and thus have I done. God says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this thing. If ye be willing. Problem we have tonight is not many people are willing.
Amen.
Why America don't have a revival tonight because people are not willing. It takes sacrifice for revival, amen?
Uh-huh.
It takes sacrifice. We got to learn to confess our sin. Oh, preacher, I've never done nothing wrong with you. Just did.
Amen.
We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us through every single day, we come short of the glory of God. We have the same promise as God gave the children of Israel here in the book of Isaiah. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. God gave us the very same promise in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Notice with me as we look at these verses of Scripture, there's a progression. There's a progression. There's no blessings coming to Israel until Israel repents. There's no blessing coming to Israel until Israel bows to the Word of God. Can I say to you tonight, we live in a nation that does not want to bow to the Word of God. They do everything in their power to get away from the Word of God. They start in different denominations and different religions and all kinds of different hogwash that they're doing just to get away from the Word of God. They want to take in God and we trust off our money and off our buildings and take prayer out of school. They want to just delete God out of the whole equation.
Amen.
Let me say to you, the moment that America deletes God totally out, God will have His day.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I can't speak for all of America tonight, but I can speak for us as God's people. If we confess our sin, He'll forgive us. He'll bless us. The progression is we must obey the Word of God. We must obey the Word of God. Not just one commandment, not just 10 commandments. There's over 900 commandments in the Word of God, and we're to obey what God says. If we have a willing heart, God, I've broken some commands, God, today. I've done this and I've done that. God said, just have a willing heart and repent of those things and I'll forgive you.
Amen.
I'm not talking about sinless perfection. Ain't nobody in here going to live sinless. I don't believe in sinless perfection. We're still in the natural flesh. Amen. This body's going to sin. We're going to have a bad thought. We're going to have a bad attitude. Hello. And their tongue's going to get loose and say something we're going to regret. Amen. We're going to sin. But God says, hey, listen, just be obedient to the Word of God. Cleanse yourselves from those things. Learn to do good. Seek my face. The progression is learning to bow to the Word of God. I'm so afraid that in the day we're living in, we don't even bow at the altar. We got so many people that won't even come. And I know some that's got health problems. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about health problems. Some's got bad knees and bad backs. And I understand. I'm not talking about that. But this, I'm talking about just bowing your heart before the Lord. Man, we're living in a day where people don't want to do that. They want to get so far away from God. And the problem with that is they're dragging God's people with them.
Amen.
We see it here in Isaiah as he's writing. The once blessed nation that God had blessed so greatly had begun to drift away from the God that once blessed them, that they once served. They were drifting away and following after the rituals and the paganism and the evil deeds of the other nations. Boy, that sounds a lot like America, does it not? There's so much evil in our day, so much wickedness, and they're teaching us to tolerate it. Oh, you just need to tolerate it. I'm not tolerating it. I'm just going to stand with God. I'm going to stand on His Word. Amen. I'm going to stand on His Word. I'm going to stand with God. And I'm not going to tolerate what God said that was evil. I'm not going to tolerate.
Amen.
Hey, God said in His Word, woe unto them in the book of Isaiah chapter number 5. God says, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. There's a woe on them. God says, listen. Have a willing heart. Just repent. Come before me with a willing heart and a repentant heart. Again, the progression was to obey the Word of God. God had given them the very clear option that they have. It's one of two things. It's cut and dry. And if I say tonight it with God, it's cut and dry. It's either one way or the other. God says, here's your choice. You can either repent to get right, or judgment's coming.
Amen.
You can either repent and get right, or judgment's coming. Boy, it breaks my heart sometimes when people talk to me and they want some information, they want some advice, and I'll tell them what God says in His Word. This is what the Word of God says. This is what you need to do. You need to get yourself right with God, or judgment will come. And they'll hear what I say and walk right out there and do the opposite of what the Word of God says, and judgment comes.
Amen.
And then they come looking at me and say, preacher, what happened? Well, in the world, am I in this shape? Well, did you not hear what I said? Did you not listen to God? No, you didn't. You have a choice. God gives every individual a choice.
Amen.
We are not born homosexuals.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. We're not born that way. God gives man a choice. Man can choose to live godly, or man can choose to live for the devil. It's just cut and dry. It's plain and simple. God says, here it is. Repent, get right with me, or judgment's coming. Repent, get right, or judgment's coming. That's your choice. Isaiah said, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God has said in His Word. God has said through His prophet. If you refuse and rebel, verse number 20, If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know as well as I do, you study the history of Israel, you know the Assyrians come in and attacked, and the Babylonians come in and attacked and destroyed the city, take them into captivity. And listen, God kept His word.
Amen.
The great thing about God is a forgiving God. God's a loving God. Amen?
Yeah.
God also hates sin.
Amen.
I know that our nation, our society says that our God is not a hateful God. He doesn't hate nobody. God wouldn't hate anybody. God hates sin.
Amen.
Right. Amen. God hates sin. And God says, here it is. This is your choice. Confess and get right, and I'll bless. Confess and get right, and I'll bless. Boy, I've got so much more I want to go through tonight. I don't have time. I'm out of time already. Children of Israel were serving God and going through the motions, and God says, it just makes me sick. And I'm not saying tonight that Heritage Baptist Church makes the Lord sick. I hope and pray, and in my heart I do believe that we're pleasing the Lord with what we're doing. And don't misunderstand the message tonight. I'm not trying to tell you. But there's so many places around us. So many different denominations and so-called churches that just make God sick.
Amen.
And if we're not very careful, we'll begin to look at that. And we'll be drawn to it. Listen, the devil is very deceitful. He's a subtle creature, the Bible says. And we'll begin to look at all the glamour. I know the young people are looking at all the spectacular things in the churches. They're looking for the rock bands. They're looking for the you know, half-dressed whatever. You know, they don't have no standards and no convictions, and they can do whatever they want to do. That's what they're looking for. And the devil's drawing them into that crowd and into that group and gets his clutches in them. Hey, listen, and there's coming a day when God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, but we went through all the motions. We was at the church. Did all these things, Lord. He says, depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen.
If we're not careful, we'll be drawn away by the paganism of America. The wickedness of our day. It don't take a whole lot. I'm going to try to hush. It don't take a whole lot to drag us off course. Oh, preacher, I would never join one of those other churches. Don't you say that. By the help and the grace of God, and as long as I got my right mind, I never do that.
Amen.
But it doesn't take joining one of those other churches. All it takes is not being faithful to the house of God.
That's right.
Start missing Sunday night. Start missing Thursday night. And it won't be long. And you'll be following that other crowd.
Right.
What did the Bible say about Peter? Peter walked with the Lord. And then he began to follow afar off. Began to separate himself from the Lord. And you find that Peter cursed and denied him. You don't even know who that man is. It's the same thing that happened to the children of Israel. They had got so deep in sin, they're just going through the motions. Just going through the motions, and their heart was not in it. May God help us at Heritage Baptist Church to put our whole heart into it. Put everything we've got in it. Our whole heart. God, I didn't come today to look at so-and-so or talk to so-and-so. God, I come today to talk to you. God, I come today to worship you. You've blessed me. You've been good to me. God, I come to worship you. Amen? Come with a willing heart. Can God revive Heritage Baptist Church? Man, we've fought some battles. We've been through some battles. Children of Israel went through battles. But the same God that delivered them can deliver us. And will deliver us. What we need is to have a willing heart. A repentant heart. I'm talking about everybody. Have a repentant and willing heart. And just go with God. God, I want everything you've got. I want your blessings. God said to the children of Israel, I promise you, I am trying to quit. God said to the children of Israel that it was spoken from the mouth of the Lord. Until the children of Israel bowed to the Word of God, until they obeyed willingly His word, there was no blessings. Y'all with me?
Amen.
There was no blessings until they obeyed willingly from their heart the word of God. Would God bless Heritage Baptist Church? Absolutely, He sure will. Do you know what we got to do? We've got to have a willing heart.
Amen.
We've got to have a repentant heart, and we've got to obey His word. Say, God, give me your best. I want your blessings. I don't know about y'all. Well, I think I do. I'm pretty sure I do, most of you. We all want His blessings, don't we?
Amen.
I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if we just obey God and go with God, God will bless us.
Amen.
Amen. The book of Isaiah, man, is so full of stuff. There's so much more I want to say tonight. I know this has been scattered, and I apologize. But, hey, listen. Let's just obey God. Let's be willing to say, God, I want your blessings. I want your blessings on our church. God, help me to do my part in being obedient so we can see the blessings of God on our church. You know what would turn around and upside down? You know what would turn around and upside down? If this little church by the side of the road got on fire for God and God began to pull people in here and save them, and turn this community up. This, I'm telling you, God can.
Amen.
God can. And this community would be turned upside down. And in the book of Acts, they turned the city upside down for the glory of God. God can do it here.
Amen.
God can do it here. Let's pray.